Jeeves.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Day to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. A wet day. It's a little slushy out there. Got some wet weather that started overnight, and it's a little bit of a slush in the streets. Probably a slush on your car. Don't be that jerk, though. Wipe it off. It's not going to just slide right off when you turn the corner like you think it is. Take 2 minutes to just wipe it all off your car so you can see. And then you'll be fine. But be aware that there may be some areas where there's some slick spots because it is kind of cold out there as well. So you never know when you're going to get some of that black ice that you can't really see. But it seems like other than that, it'll be a perfectly normal morning here on the South Coast. As normal as a day can be for us. Now, in Rhode Island, it's a little bit of a different story. There's some schools that have gone on to delays. There are some services that won't be happening today. Nothing here locally, though, in Massachusetts. And if you are listening in Rhode Island and you want to find out some of those things, you can check it out at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app under our snow closings tab. Also, a reminder, too, that today is your last day to vote for the South Coast's cutest couple, because we're going to announce the winner tomorrow for Valentine's Day. So if you would like to get in your vote, you can go over to WBSM.com or the WBSM app and click on the cutest couple option, and you can vote there. The winner is going to get a $250 gift card, and they get bragging rights for the whole year. That they are the cutest couple on the South Coast. It's sponsored by Paradise Jewelry, Festiva Buffet, and Frontera Grill. And we do have one particular couple that has been in the lead all week long. So if that's your favorite, get over there and support them. But if it's not, if it's somebody else, well, you have until the end of the day today to help boost them up and try to get them to overtake the number one. But I'll say this, and it's not really giving too much info away because you can see the results when you vote. There's a lot of ground to make up. The winning couple is leading with just about 48% of the vote. The next person down, 6%. So if you wanted to be anybody other than the one that's in the top spot, make sure you vote. Then if you're one of the couples that's in there, make sure you get everybody that you know to go over and vote. Because again, voting will end tonight, and we will announce the winner tomorrow morning. So there's a lot of things that we can discuss this morning at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails, both open on the WBSM app, if you want to utilize that feature. And if you've never tried it, I recommend it. It's pretty easy to do. It's free. It's brought to you by South Coast Towing. Well worth the space on your phone. It doesn't take up much space either. By the way, I saw that the new Samsung S25s are rolling out. I'll probably go next week to try to get one so I can stop dealing with the fact that I have no space left on my phone. I keep going in there and deleting photos and moving other photos and videos to the cloud. But I'm still pretty far behind in having space. But anyway, yesterday you heard it on South Coast Now. Mayor Mitchell talked about it. The city has put a hiring freeze for 45 days on any new hires for certain positions. Now, this is not going to affect the school department. This is not going to affect hiring of new police officers or firefighters because there's no training academy set to complete within that 45-day window. This will not include public safety dispatchers or other positions that are funded by sources outside of the city's general fund. And the mayor's office is referring to this as a belt-tightening move. That in order to kind of cut some of the expenses of the city, they are going to put a 45-day freeze on hiring these positions. Now the question becomes, well, how many of those positions are there out there? Is this something that is a necessary measure, or is this a performative action? And according to New Bedford Light, we're talking about a very small percentage of the city government that is going to be affected by this, about 9.5% based on budgeted positions for the current fiscal year. So how much of that is really going to make a difference, really going to make a dent in the overall spending? The city put out a release on this yesterday. In that release, Mayor Mitchell said, "Our focus during the first half of the fiscal year was on methodically scouring individual department budgets, but that exercise only gets you so far without across-the-board measures like hiring delays. Blanket delays or freezes can be very disruptive to operations, and there are certainly real-world consequences felt by residents, but in the current circumstance, it's a necessary measure." And then the city CFO, Bob Ekstrom, said, "New Bedford residents may notice a reduction in service levels, longer wait times at City Hall, or other delays as vacant positions go unfilled. But the reality is that we have an obligation to do our very best to ensure against year-end deficits. This is an essential part of our financial management strategy." So critics of Mayor Mitchell and the budget are saying, yeah, this is just them saying, look what we have to do because the city council cuts the budget that we propose each year. And so Council President Shane Burgo released a statement yesterday in response to the administration's 45-day hiring freeze. And his statement reads, "The decision to delay hiring for vacant positions is a familiar approach to managing budget constraints. While fiscal responsibility is always important, it's worth noting that the city has operated with staffing shortages for some time, and residents have already experienced the effects of those vacancies. Given that no staff are being terminated, it's unclear how this delay will result in a noticeable change in service levels. The city already lacks the necessary workforce to provide optimal service levels, and residents have felt those effects for quite some time. This hiring delay doesn't change that reality, it simply continues the status quo. However, despite these challenges, the individuals who work for our city do an amazing job. They work incredibly hard, often taking on the responsibilities of two people to keep this city running. Their dedication and perseverance do not go unnoticed, and I am deeply grateful for their continued service to New Bedford. The City Council has been committed to ensuring that taxpayer dollars are spent efficiently and effectively. Our recent efforts to rein in unnecessary spending reflect that commitment, and we will continue working to balance financial responsibility with the need for quality city services. We must continue advocating for responsible budgeting that prioritizes the needs of our residents, not unnecessary spending disguised as fiscal management. So here we have another, you know, fundamental difference between Mayor Mitchell and the city council. That Mayor Mitchell is trying to say, you know, we're going to not be able to provide you the services that you're used to at the level that you deserve because we didn't get the budget that we needed. And the city council is saying, basically, that the mayor is just doing this as performative action to show, you know, try to pin it on the city council, but really, in reality, it's not going to be any different than what it is now. And that statistic from the New Bedford Light tends to lean in their favor. That we're talking about, what was it, 4.9%? 9.5% of the city government. And as Mayor Mitchell pointed out with Chris yesterday, they've done this before. They had to do it during COVID. In the State of the City address, Mayor Mitchell talked about having a new hire, a director of data management, and also talked about bringing on several experts to create a map of the city's 12,000 trees that have been planted. So as New Bedford Light points out, you know, those are two new, well, more than two, but new positions that were announced. Now, I don't know if this means that the data management person, if she's going to be not allowed to start or what. Because the mayor had said at the State of the City address that she'd already been hired. So that was in January, and this went into effect at the beginning of February. But is this going to be the back and forth that we get throughout the year? We don't always get the council response to the mayor's actions based on, you know, the council president, depending on who it was, didn't necessarily have the time to respond. I mean, at least, you know, in terms of it coming through the council office, I mean, generally we could always text or call and get something back. But as you know, Council President Burgo has a day job. But he was able to take time out of his day job, I'm assuming based on the timing of when this came out, on his lunch hour, to be able to respond to the mayor's announcement. So that shows me that he wanted to make sure that he got something out there and that the council had a statement on this relatively quickly. Are you noticing a delay in services and service at City Hall when you go there based on where it was a couple of years ago or even pre-pandemic? I mean, I think part of it is, you know, every individual interaction and transaction is different. So it's hard to gauge what is a holdup in the process and what is a holdup due to personnel. What is a slow response due to the nature of the request and what is a slow response due to a lack of personnel? And I think to say that residents should expect something doesn't mean they necessarily will encounter it. But again, 508-996-0500, I'd rather hear from you and to see if you've actually experienced what you felt are slowed down services, delays in service, longer wait times, longer processing times. I know whenever I've gone to a municipal building, there's a lot of factors involved in the wait. What is the nature of the request? how many people are on. I mean, you know that if you go at your lunch hour because it's easier for you to try to get something done, it's also their lunch hour too, and they might not have as many people on. Like, I was always pretty fortunate when I worked in food service. I was done by 1 o'clock most days because I would do breakfast and lunch. So I'd get out between like 1 and 2 and I'd be going to town hall or a courthouse, wherever I needed to do business at the perfect time because everybody's wrapped up their lunches. They're all back to work. They're trying to get done with the work for the day, so they're going to move a little quicker. But that was certainly circumstantial as opposed to staffing issues. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We'll take our first break of the morning and be back in a few moments. That's a better Seal song than Kiss from a Rose, Prayer for the Dying. And thoughts go out to all of those. We recently lost a member of the community in a shocking departure from this world. And those of you out there know what a light she was for everybody. And just know that we're all here in it together. And if you are having those dark thoughts, then reach out for help. The Samaritans of the South Coast can help you. Suicide Hotline can help you. Reach out. All right, we're going to go into the newsroom now and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Trump on a possible end to the war between Ukraine and Russia. Flu cases going strong across the country. And Disney Classics will now come with this warning.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump is not saying whether he feels Ukraine and Russia are equal in their efforts to end the war between the two. Trump spoke Wednesday at the White House, calling it an interesting question. He did say he felt the two made peace and said Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky would have to do what he has to do. When asked about him potentially giving up territory as part of negotiations, Trump says he spoke with Russian President Vladimir Putin and they will immediately start negotiations to end the war following a highly productive call. President Trump is now the chair of the Kennedy Center. Trump said the newly constituted board elected him unanimously. He wrote on Truth Social, quote, "We will make the Kennedy Center a very special and exciting place." He also appointed Rick Grinnell to lead the Kennedy Center on a temporary basis. Two Navy pilots are in stable condition after an F-18 fighter jet crashed into San Diego Bay on Wednesday. The two pilots ejected before the crash and were rescued. A local television station says it was a Growler fighter jet, a version of the F-18, that crashed into the water near Shelter Island in the bay. It was raining in San Diego at the time of the crash, but a cause has not been released. NASA says an asteroid up to 300 feet across could hit Earth in a few years. While the chances are still extremely slim, probability of the impact has gone up since being discovered a few weeks back, now currently just over 2%. The number has almost doubled from an initial estimate in late January. NASA estimating that the asteroid measures between 130 and 300 feet across. Impact would more than likely only cause local damage, not nearly enough to threaten the planet. Flu cases are surging nationwide, with the CDC saying they're at the highest level in 15 years. Their data shows that 44 states, including New Jersey and New York, have high or very high levels of flu. Influenza has led to at least 24 million confirmed cases, more than 300,000 hospitalizations, and about 13,000 deaths. Some experts think vaccine hesitancy is playing a major role. The cost of breakfast is skyrocketing. Staples like eggs, orange juice, and coffee hurting customers' wallets. This according to data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Egg prices were up over 50% year over year in January. They're up over 7% month over month. Drinks like orange juice jumped 7.7% over the last year. Coffee up just over 3%. And Disney is changing content warnings ahead of several old movies, including Dumbo and Peter Pan. Mark Mayfield explains.
The movies currently have a disclaimer that says the films include negative depictions and/or mistreatment of peoples or cultures. The new version will read, "This program is presented as originally created and may contain stereotypes or negative depictions." The change comes amid an overall shift in Disney's diversity, equity, and inclusion policies as President Trump rails against DEI in the federal government. I'm Mark Mayfield.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Celtics back home at TD Garden in Boston with the Philadelphia 76ers a week from tonight. Bruins back on home ice on February 22nd. So not this weekend, but next.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Ice and rain to start the day. Dry and windy in the afternoon. A high of 43 degrees. On Friday, bright and gusty. A high of 34. On Saturday, early sun turning cloudy. Late snow and rain. A high of 33. And on Sunday, widespread rain, potentially heavy. A high of 41. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Play that song on a rainy Thursday because it mentions coming in on a rainy Thursday from the Avenue. Maybe you're coming in from the Avenue. So one of the things that we have at WBSM.com is, you know, we put out lots of great local content that we know that you care about. Things like the closing of over 500 Joann stores, including all the local ones around us. North Dartmouth, Seekonk, Raynham, Warwick, they're all closing. Hyannis. So if you are somebody who shops at Joann, you know, for fabrics and crafts, I guess it used to be called Joann Fabrics, and it was Joann with a J-O-A-N-N, and then they changed that and made it no dash, and then they dropped the fabrics and crafts and just called it Joann. I mean, they've gone through some changes, including two bankruptcies within a one-year time. They filed for bankruptcy in March of last year and were able to come out of that bankruptcy because they went private. And then in January of this year, so last month, had to file bankruptcy again, and now they're closing something like 530 or 540 of their 800 or so stores, including 19 of their 21 stores in Massachusetts. Now, I've been in Joann, the store. I've been in there before because for many years, I was married to a crafter. Someone who would knit and create different crafts and was really good at it. And so we would go in there to look for different things. And it was, you know, I mean, it was not my favorite store to go to because there wasn't really anything else in there. It was a very niche store. And as we've moved into this internet era, I think it's harder for those types of stores to survive. But it's also, this is what gets me, is stores like that is also a very big browsing store. Because you see things that you didn't know were something that you wanted. Like, I'm not surprised that certain stores don't last. But there are stores that you would also expect would stick around because of the browsing aspect of them. Like, bookstores will never fully go away because oftentimes people just want to wander around, pick up a book that catches their attention, look at it, read a few pages, and then decide if they want to buy it or not. Otherwise, why would Amazon have instituted that ability to be able to read a few pages from a book online before you purchase it? They know that that's part of the experience. And for some people, for a lot of people who are voracious readers, the tactile side of it matters. How the book feels in your hand matters. So I don't think bookstores will ever fully go away. Certainly they've decreased in frequency. You don't see as many as you used to. But, like, we didn't really need to have a toy store anymore because kids would see a commercial for a toy or see it online or whatever, and then you could just order it online. They knew they wanted it. It wasn't a matter of something that caught your eye. Could Toys R Us come back in a full capacity, not just, you know, being in the corner of Macy's? I think so. I do. I think in this day and age, certainly not the size and scope that they were before, but I think you could have a comeback. Could we support an economy where we have Toys R Us, Child World, KB Toys, tons of toys, and a big toy department in every department store? No, probably not. But I think the browsing factor plays a big part of this. And people want to get out and wander around and browse. And I'm not a crafter, so I don't know how much that really played into it. It just seemed, in my opinion, that people would go in there and look around and say, oh, I could do something with this, or this gives me an idea, that it would spark some of that creativity, seeing those materials. Maybe not. Maybe the people had the idea in mind already and they just wanted a specific item. So I think everybody likes to look at store closures and think to themselves, well, that's the economy. Thanks, Joe Biden. Thanks, Donald Trump, whoever you want to blame it on. But they look at it and they say, that's the result of the economy. And they don't think maybe that's the result of a change in society. Like, Blockbuster didn't close because the economy was bad. Blockbuster closed because people didn't need to go to a video store anymore to get videos. Sometimes technology changes. But the interesting thing about a store like Joann is, again, I'm not a crafter, but I would operate under the assumption that you had a lot of people that would just come in there and thumb through and be inspired. Maybe there's just less people crafting these days. Maybe they just don't have the time to dedicate to that. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. You know, I don't blame the, you know, I go to Joann's a lot of times to look for certain little things that I may need, like, you know, thread or just something that I know they're going to have that really no Target, Walmart has. And it's not the economy. It's actually Amazon. The way I look at it, Amazon is what's really hurt. All these retailers. Now, as an older person, I have to tell you, as of when Amazon started, I have never bought one thing from Amazon. I'm a visual person. I'm not saying I like, you know, doing a lot of shopping, but I actually, you know, like to go and physically see it, feel it. I'm not saying, you know, try it on, because, I mean, if I can, I will. But, you know, feel the material, you know, see what it really looks like, regardless whether it's clothes, especially shoes, and even, like, other items, even, like, bed sheets and stuff like that. So I don't know, like, how people can actually buy shoes through Amazon.
Well, they offer a they have a return window, so that if you buy it and it doesn't fit, you know. Yeah. But that's also kind of inconvenient too.
Right. But I get that. But you know, family members, they buy all this stuff. They buy like everything, and it seems like every other day they're back, you know, at Kohl's or wherever they have to go to return it. And you know, they buy it now, you know, online. They get the item, then 2 days later, you know, they're back there, then they're reordering, then they get another pair or they get whatever. And it's a, you know, like, it's like in my neighborhood, you know, I have a couple of neighbors and, you know, it, all day long, it's the UPS, Federal Express, massive amounts of Amazon time deliveries. And I just feel that, like, whether, you know, bookstores, even you're talking about the toy stores, okay, like Toys R Us. I mean, at Christmas time, who are the kids that don't like to go physically into a toy store and, you know, look at the toys or feel the toys, hold the toys? I just think that it has nothing to do with has nothing to do with the economy. Now, as far as the rents are concerned, yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure these places are probably paying exuberant amounts of money on rents nowadays. But I just think, you know, when you really look at it, Amazon is really what has caused a lot of problems. And I really wish, one thing I really wish they would bring back would be the you know, something like a Toys R Us store. I just don't think stores like Walmart and Target have enough, you know, availability of toys of what's out there. And again, yeah, I get it. You know, you can go online and look. But I know as a kid and anybody of a certain, before Amazon, when they were kids, you know, they used to, I'm sure we all loved going to the toy store at Christmas time, especially, you know, to look at things, what was out there, what you wanted Santa to bring. You know, Amazon just took a lot, made it impersonal. And I just, to be honest with you, I hate it. I really do. And it saddens me that, you know, places like Joann's, and I'm hoping a place like Michael's is not next, because that would be really sad. But anyway, I just thought I'd call in and give my opinion about the whole stores closing. You have a good day.
Appreciate it. You as well. And I think that that's a solid point, is that, you know, it's, people are choosing convenience over experience. And in some places, it's not about convenience for me. It's about the experience. Like, sometimes I want to wander around a store. Sometimes it's about finding something that you didn't know about. Especially me, as somebody who collected things. You know, it's about the fun of going and finding it in the store. And yeah, I could go online and get it and order it and pay a little bit more to make sure that I have it. But what's the fun in that? It's more fun to go out and hunt it down. And I remember there was no greater feeling than getting, you know, $5 from your parents, like especially like if they were going to go out. My dad used to bowl when I was a kid, and every year they would go to the bowling banquet at the end of the bowling season, my parents, and I'd get babysat by my aunt or my grandparents or something. And it was always, if you behave, we'll go to the store and you can pick out a toy. And then you go to, I was a Child World kid. I preferred Child World to Toys R Us when I was a kid. We also didn't have a Toys R Us, you know, always close by. There were more Child Worlds than there were Toys R Us in our area. But we'd go in and I'd see, you know, the giant display of He-Man figures. And I, which one do I want? They have so many. You know, that was a lot of the fun of it. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. You know, a little John Cicada on the soundtrack for tomorrow wouldn't be a bad idea for Valentine's Day, right? But you might also be thinking to yourself, wait, what? Tomorrow's Valentine's Day? I totally forgot. What am I going to do now? Well, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to head on over to Potting Bench Florists and Gifts at 2 Sarah's Way. That's the CVS Plaza here in Fairhaven. Or you're going to go to PottingBenchFloristFairhaven.com, but I would recommend going to the store, talking with Danielle and her staff, telling them, I'm a bonehead, I waited till the last minute, what can you do to help me for Valentine's Day? Because they will have lots of great options for you. They will have flowers and floral arrangements that are going to be better than anything you're going to get at the gas station or the convenience store or the supermarket, that are going to last. But they've also got other great gifts as well. Things that you might not have ever thought of that will make this Valentine's Day extra special. So don't panic. Don't freak out. Don't walk into the store and buy the first thing you see that has a pink or purple heart on it. Go to Potting Bench Florists and Gifts and just tell them, I screwed up. I waited. Now I'm concerned I'm not going to get the perfect gift. And they're going to say, no, hold on, wait. We've got you. Whether it be a small floral arrangement or a big gift, because let's face it, you probably screwed up this year and you need to make amends for it. They've got it all. And you know, everybody goes to the flowers and they gravitate toward the flowers. But you know what else people love to receive as a gift? Houseplants. Plants that will be lived on, that will live on for many, many years. They've got those as well. All kinds of great stuff, including gifts for the kids as well. So don't freak out. Don't panic. Just head on over to Potting Bench Florists and Gifts, 2 Sarah's Way in the CVS Plaza, or you can still go online at PottingBenchFloristFairhaven.com. All right, got to take one more break here. We'll be right back. All right, we are going to be going into the news in just a moment. We got a phone call on hold. It's Johnny One Note. Hello.
Good morning. How are you, Tim?
Doing all right. I only got about a minute here. Do you want to hold on until after the news?
I'll wait till after the news, sure.
All right, hold on. We will put you on hold, and we'll take you as soon as we come back from the news. But we're going to go in, we're going to get all of the national headlines from ABC News, and then we'll get all the local headlines from Phil. We can talk more with you about this Joanne closing, but it's not just that either. There's other stores that are closing as well. Volcom, Billabong, Quicksilver, which I think are all the same parent company. I know Billabong and Quicksilver are, but again, very niche stores. I mean, how many of you are going out and buying surf and skateboarding wear, and you feel like you need to go out there into the